Also, just want to welcome everyone to Journey Church in the room, behind the church, online. We're just so grateful that everyone's here today. We just thank you for the opportunity we have to be a part of your spiritual journey, because we believe that every single person is on a journey towards Christ. And I want to begin this morning with a question. How many people in this room, online, you can respond in the chat, how many people are podcast listeners? Raise your hand if you listen. Wow, we got, okay, everybody, raise your, keep it up if you listen to a podcast. How many people will say, I have a favorite podcast? All right, good. Well, I do, and one of my favorite podcasts is a guy named Kerry Newhoff, and Kerry is a pastor up in Toronto, Canada area, and he has what he calls the Kerry Newhoff Leadership Podcast, and I try to listen to it each week. It's rather long. It takes over an hour, so it's usually on a walk and listening to Kerry. And this week, I think it was on Tuesday, I took the time to listen to his podcast because on that particular day, he was interviewing somebody that I respect a lot. And on that day, he was interviewing a pastor named Andy Stanley. Has anybody ever heard of Andy Stanley before? Well, Andy Stanley is said to be one of the 10 most influential pastors in America. And he pastors a church in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called North Point Church. It's a multi-site church. It reaches thousands upon thousands of people every weekend. And here's what happened in June or July, I'm not sure exact month. Andy came out and he made a public announcement and he told everyone that, hey, North Point Church will not reopen until 2021. So that hit a lot of people a lot of different ways. And I can understand they're in a big city, there's thousands of people. How do you shrink thousands of people into smaller groups? So in this podcast that Kerry and Andy were having this conversation, I love Kerry asked Andy his thoughts about how are they going to go about reopening North Point Church? And I thought it was so wise because as they were talking, Andy responded to that question, how are you going to reopen the church? He said, here's what I'm finding. And he said this. He said, so many leaders at this time are asking the wrong question. And I was like, what is he talking about? He said, yeah, a lot of leaders right now are asking the wrong question. And they're asking the wrong question, and that is, how do we get back to our pre-COVID normal? So a lot of pastors, I want to let you know, a lot of leaders, pastors are asking, how can we get back to what it looked like in 2019? Or how can we get back to how it looked at least in January and February of this year? And Andy would say that's the wrong question, because he said the correct question should be, in this season, how can we go about making our church a better church? How can we've been given this gift of time. We've been given this season to step away. And here's the deal. A lot of churches really haven't stepped away for years to think about what they're really doing. And he said, this is a great opportunity for churches to step aside and pause and ask themselves the question, how can we do what we're doing better? And when Andy said that, I said, wow, I agree. I agree almost 100% with what he's saying. That this is a great opportunity. And as I thought about Journey Church, I thought, you know what? That's kind of what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. And that is that we're using, thank you, Chris. Everybody give it up for Chris. It's all about having a great team, right? Okay. So anyway, this is exactly what we're doing. And that is that we're using this season, even though we've reopened, I really think that we've been using this season that God has given us very, very well to make sure that when this is all over, I believe that Journey Church is going to be a better church. I believe that Journey Church is going to be a stronger church. And one of the ways that I believe that we're going to get better is through this word that we talked about last week. If you were here, we talked about change. That is one way that Journey Church is going to get better. And I want to say this, I usually don't say this, but I want to say this loud and clear. If you did not have, if you haven't listened to last week's message yet, I want to make sure that you listen to that message because it's very, very pivotal to the future of Journey Church. It says a lot about where we are going. And you can get that, you can get the audio online, you can get the video on Facebook. Please take, I think we only spoke for like 20, 25 minutes talking about the future of our church. And it's super, super pivotal. We said we need to change. And one of the things we need to change is we need to change the role of the pastor. We need to change the role of the pastor from being a church that is traditional, and that is where the pastor does everything, to becoming a church that follows the biblical model where we equip the saints, you, all of us, to do the work of ministry. So that was last week's message. Please listen to it. It's very, very important. We're very serious about it. We're putting forth great effort, not just to talk, but to make it happen. But today what I want to do is I want to talk about one more word. I love talking about one word because one word keeps us focused. I mean, one thing we're going to talk about, and the one thing that we're going to talk about today along with change is going to be something that's going to make us a better church in the future, a stronger church in the future. So today's word, and everybody said, give it to me. Yeah, I want to see it. Here we go. Today's word is unity. So can we say that together? Unity. That's our word that we're going to look at today. That's the word that if we get this right, God's going to do some amazing things. And I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that this is the word that God wants me to share with you this morning. So let's go on a journey today talking about unity. It's super duper important. All the way through scripture from Genesis, all the way through Revelation, you're going to see that unity is big in the body of Christ. So let's begin on journey by asking the question, what is unity? You may know what it means, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. We're all looking at the same definition. And unity is simply oneness of purpose. That there's a group of people where there is this oneness of purpose. And when we look at this word unity in the context of the local church, we need to make sure, gang, that it's God's purpose. And we need to make sure that it's not our purpose that we're pursuing, but we're pursuing a much bigger purpose, and that's the purpose of God. That's the purpose of building his kingdom here on earth. And that's what unity is all about. We're pursuing that purpose. One together, one-minded. We're solely going after this one team, one group. So why is unity so important? I want to share with you why unity is so important. And I want to share with you a quote today from Helen Keller that I think she said it really, really well. She talked about the importance of unity. She said this. She said, alone, we can do so little, but together, we can do so much. I want us to get that in our hearts and spirits together today. Alone, we can do so little, but together, we can do so much. So I need a volunteer. So Logan, why don't you come on up here? Logan, hold this over here. And when I tell you to go, go. So don't go until I say go, okay? Here's how I want to illustrate. I love visual illustrations. How many people love visuals? Because here's what I found out. You'll forget everything I said within 24 hours almost, but you'll remember the rope, okay? And here's what the rope means, okay? Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. And I want to let you know the tape portion of this rope represents how much you and I can do alone. This is about even the most talented, gifted person. At the end of the day, this is how much we can do alone. But I want to let you know, Logan, just start walking. Walk as far as you can go, let the rope. But how many people know? Let it out, Logan. Come on, don't be shy. Just start walking through the sanctuary. But how many people, go over there. Come on, Logan. Don't be shy. But how many people know that when we're together, look at how much more we can do. Look at the representation of how much we can do when we go together, when we're in unity. Logan, you can sit down, by the way. Everybody get up for Logan. But this is what I want us to see. And this is what I want to ask you. Do you want to invest your life in just in what you can do by yourself? You can leave the rope down, Logan. I'm going to keep referring back to it. I want to ask you a question. Is this what you want your life to be, is how much you can do by yourself? Or do you want to commit your life to being a part of something where you could do so much more? You need to answer that question. Are you satisfied with just this? Lord, I'll live my life for me, and at the end of my life, this is all I've accomplished. Or would you rather say at the end of your life, you know what, I was a part. I was in unity. I was a part of a church where we were able to do so much for the kingdom of God and making a difference in our community, in our world. I was able to be a part of that because we were unified. And what I want to do today is I want to share with you a story that talks about exactly what I'm sharing with this illustration. So if you have your Bibles, you can look at it. If not, it's going to be on the screen. And today, what I want to do is I want to share with you a story from chapter 11. And it talks about the power of what we can do when people are unified. So I want to read this to you. But before we read the passage, I need to give you some context. And the context is, after the great flood, we read about in Genesis, the flood of where Noah and his family, his descendants survived, his family. After that, just soon after that, God ordered the people, the survivors, he ordered them to scatter. He ordered them to scatter across the earth and said, hey, I want you to go out and I want you to repopulate. But here's the deal. The people had different plans. I don't know why that is, but we always seem to think, God, our plan's better than your plan. And that's the case in Genesis. They thought their plan was better. So what they decided to do instead of scatter, they decided to go to one place. And they decided that when they got to that one place, they would build a city. And when they got to that city, they would build a tower. And the reason why is because they wanted to make a name for themselves. So let's look at that as the context of what we're going to read here today in Genesis 11. And it says in verse 1, it says, At one time, the people of the world spoke the same language. And they all used the same words. Verse 2, as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia, and they settled there. Verse 3, they began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. Interesting conversation. Verse 4. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves. So what I want us to see there, they weren't worried about God's agenda. They were more concerned about their agenda, themselves. So we're going to build this great city for ourselves with a tower. And our objective is that this tower that we're going to build is going to reach into the sky. And check this out. It says, this will make us famous. They weren't worried about glorifying God, but they were worried about making themselves famous, and it will keep us from being scattered all over the world. And we know that wasn't God's plan. Verse 5. There's a whole change in the story here. Verse 5. But the Lord came down. He came down to look at the city. And he came down in the tower the people were building. And check out verse 6. Look, he said, the people are, can we all say that word together? United. The people are united. They're after one purpose. And they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Verse 7, come, let's go down and let's confuse the people with different languages. And this is where we see where languages, different languages came into being. Then they won't be able to understand each other. Verse 8, in that way, the Lord scattered them over all the world. That's where we get all the different races. And they stopped building the city. Verse 9, that is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages, and in this way, he scattered them all over the world. What I want us to see here this morning is actually taken directly from verse 6. Verse 6. And what I want us to see, gang, is this. When you and I are united, and it might be as small as united in our marriage with our spouse, or it might be if we're united as a family, 4, 5, 6 people, or when we're united as a team, or at work, or in our case we're talking about this morning, the context is when we're united as a church, when we're going after oneness of purpose, I want to let you know, and I want you to hear this loud and clear. When people are united, nothing will be impossible. And I want everyone to hear that this morning. When people are united, when they're going after God's agenda together, there's nothing that will be impossible for them, especially if we're saying, God, not what we want, but what you want. And I'm here today to tell you that I believe that God wants to do great things through Journey Church. And I believe our best days are days ahead. But here's what I believe that we need to make sure that we're going after, and that is that unity, because I think that we would all agree today that unity is big. It's big in your relationships. It's big in your workplace. It's certainly big in the church. So my next question is this: how do we experience unity in the local church? How does that happen that we experience unity in this body? And I think that's a great, great question. And to answer this question, I think there's two thoughts. And both of the thoughts that I want to share about how we get unity come from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. And I want to read this verse where Paul's talking to Christians in Ephesus. He says, make every effort. Don't miss that. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, building yourselves together in peace. So the first thing I want to share from that verse is this. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the source of our unity. In the body of Jesus Christ, the source, the giver of our unity comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. But there's a second part of that that we need to understand, and that is that after we have received this unity from the Holy Spirit, and that is that we each have a responsibility now to make sure that we maintain the unity of the Spirit, meaning that each and every one of us needs to be involved. And I want to say this today. I'm not only talking to those who are in the room this morning. I'm talking to those in the back this morning. I'm talking to people who are online, but you're a part of Journey Church. And I want to say that each and every one of us who calls this our church home, we each have a responsibility, and that responsibility is that we need to protect, we need to guard the unity of the Holy Spirit. And I want to let you know there's several ways that we protect the unity of the church. But I want to hit on just one this morning because I think this one is really big. And I think it's really big in the culture that we're living at right here on October 25th, 2020. I think this one's hitting us right in the eyes of how we need to make sure we're going to maintain the unity in this body. And here it is, right here. And that is that we must focus on what we have in common, not on our differences. Does everybody hear me this morning? We need to make sure that we are a people, that Journey Church is a people, that we're going to focus on the things that we do have in common. And I'm going to talk about those in just a second. And we need to make sure that we're not focused and driven by the things that we could call differences. Because, gang, the fact is we're all different. Amen? We look around the room. We look at the people. Maybe you're in your living room today with just one other person. For crying out loud, even Heather and I are different. Amen? We're different. And we're all different. And I thought about it this week. We all have different personalities. Some people are super laid back. Some people are really wound tight. I mean, we all have different personalities. We all have different backgrounds. If we were to sit and talk about your background, where you came from, your family. Well, I came from a family that was followers of Jesus. My parents were radically in love with Jesus. It was a great journey. But there's other people, they didn't have that privilege. We all have different backgrounds. There's some people, you sit here today and you're saying, I'm a first-generation Christian. I'm a first-generation church attender. We all have different backgrounds. And we even in this church, we have people of different races. I love that. I embrace that. I think that's a gift from God that we have people of different races. And here's another thing. We all have different preferences. We all have different preferences. If you begin to have a conversation with one another, it won't take long for you to discover that there's going to be different preferences, even with those who you call your best friends here at Journey Church. I mean, when it comes to music, I mean, that's been a deal in churches throughout the ages. We all like different types of music. That's just the way it is. That's just how we are. And I think of our church, we all have different preferences. I like pews better than I like these chairs. So there's all these different, you know what I'm talking about? There's all these different preferences. Oh, I wish it was like it used to be. We have preferences, and we even have differences of opinions. And we can focus on all those differences of opinions. And yesterday, when I was in this sanctuary last night, going through this message, it's here that I begin to, by myself, weep. Because I look at where we're at as a country right now, and what's happening is what's happening in the country is beginning to seep into the church. And we all have these different opinions. I mean, we have opinions about mask. Think about this, gang. We have opinions about mask. I talk to people from both spectrums all the time. And we have opinions about social distances. We have opinions about vaccines. We have opinions about our politics. Why? Because we're all different. And if we're not careful, my friends, and we begin to make these the things the primary focus, I want to let you know it can divide us. Are you hearing me this morning? And that's why in Matthew 12:25, Jesus says, he says these words, Jesus, not Mike, Jesus, fully God, fully man. Jesus said, a house divided will what? Say it out loud. Will fall. If we're divided, if Heather and I are divided, if Heather and I and our boys are divided, if we're divided here at church, wherever it is, if you're divided because you choose to focus on the things that are you have different, what happens is we begin to limit ourselves in what we can do. Amen? So here's what we need to do instead of focusing on our differences. We need to have the ability to focus on what we have in common. And it's hard, isn't it? How many people would say, there's times it's hard. But we need to do by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Because it's not going to be by might or by power, but it's going to be by his Spirit that there's times that we got to be focusing on what we have in common. And you say, well, Mike, what do we have in common? Well, if you did a study of the New Testament, you're going to find that followers of Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to give you references, I'm just going to tell you how it is. As followers of Jesus, here's what we have in common. We have one Lord. We have one Savior. We have one body. By the way, Christ is the head of the church, amen? We have one purpose. We have one Father. We have one Spirit. We have one hope. We have one faith. We have one baptism. And I want to let you know we all have one future, and that is that heaven is our home. So I want to let you know that each and every one of us has the responsibility to maintain, to protect, to make sure we're guarding the unity of the church. And I tell you what, it's not going very well outside of the doors of the church, in our community, in our world. And I think the world needs to see a place where this does work. And I think it's time for the church to set the example. Amen? Amen? And people should be able to look to us and say, you know what, they're all not the same. Because how many people know that Jesus isn't calling us to uniformity, where we all have to look, talk the same way, believe the same thing? He's not looking for us to be uniform, together, looking alike, but he's calling us to be a people that we will be unified. And here's why, because when we're unified, we're going to be able to do not just the things we want to do. We're going to be able to do so much more, all for the glory of God, expanding his kingdom, because there's a people that will say, we will be unified. So what I want to do today is I want to close with two questions. Question number one, what if? What if? Comes in two portions, right? Very quick. What if Journey Church is divided? I want you to think about that. What if this church is divided? What if we're divided? I think if we're divided, this is exactly what's going to happen. We're going to be a bunch of individuals doing our own thing. And we're going to have very little, very, very little kingdom impact on the world. And I want to let you know that when Jesus was at his most challenging moment, just moments before the cross, do you know what he did in John chapter 17? We call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And it was in that prayer that Jesus prayed for the last time for his disciples. And he prayed for the last time for all believers, including us. And you know what he prayed for, gang? Does anybody want to step out on a limb? He prayed, Lord, may they be one as we are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And folks, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's super challenging. But folks, we got to fight to maintain the unity of Journey Church. And I tell you what, my heart is broken. During this COVID season, my heart is broken. That seems like we're allowing our opinions. Should we even be meeting together? Should there be this? Should there be that? And folks, I want to challenge everyone in this room. I want to challenge everyone online. Let's rise up and put aside our differences. And let's focus on what we have in common. There's a work that needs to be done in our world today, and that work won't be done by a divided church. That work will be done by a church that's united under the cause of Jesus Christ. So that's my first question. What if we're divided? Second question, what if Journey Church maintains our unity? What if we really have a full expression of unity? And I want to say this is what will happen. Nothing will be impossible. There's nothing that will be impossible. We'll fulfill our mandate to make disciples. We'll fulfill our vision. Our vision will become reality, that every person knows Jesus, that every person is cared for by others, and that every person has the opportunity to make a significant contribution. We'll be able to pull that off if we stay united, if we stay focused on what matters the most. And my last question of the day is, now what? The sermon's almost over. It's almost time to go out to Cane's for lunch. That's our schedule. We got a great schedule ahead the rest of the day. Heather and I and Nolan, check this out, gang. So we're going to Cane's for lunch, and then we're going to come home and watch the 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? Yeah, let's hear it. I know, division in the house of God, okay? Okay. And I want to say a lot of other things here, but we won't say it, okay? By the way, I missed Monday night's or last Sunday night's result of the Packers game. Did anyone? Can somebody help me here? Here's my point. We have a lot of differences, don't we? And when it comes to football, mine are right and yours are questionable. Let's go. But anyway, now what? Now what? Just another sermon? It better not be. Now what is this? Now what is every one of us, every one of us, every single person in this room, every person in the back, every person online, every person that calls this Journey Church, every one of us now is responsible. Every one of us is responsible. What are we responsible for? We're responsible for the unity of this place. Every single one. If we're going to go forward and do all that we can do, I want to let you know it's going to take every one of us stepping up. Especially in this season when there's a lot of tension, a lot of heat, a lot of, what's going on? The Church of Jesus Christ needs to say, hey, we will come together and we will be one in our purpose, and that is to glorify God, to expand his kingdom, to make disciples, to go after our vision. And I just want to encourage us today, let's pray for the unity of this church. Because when we're unified, all things will be possible. Amen? So I want you to bow your heads this morning in closing. And I want you to ask yourself this question, wherever you may be this morning. And ask yourself, am I contributing to the unity of this body? Or am I contributing to our division? Am I more focused on our differences, or am I focused on what we do have in common? Because here's my heart. I don't want us to go back to Journey Church BC before COVID. I want us to go and be even greater, even stronger, even more effective, even farther reaching into our community. I want to see more people getting saved. I want to see people getting into discipleship. I want to see people entering into worship. I want to see us this be a place where there's signs, there's wonders, there's miracles. And folks, every one of us has the part to play, and that is that we got to protect this precious gift of unity. So I want you to be encouraged that you have a part to play. So Lord, we just pray for your help. We just pray, God, that just as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as you were one, God, I pray that through your power of the Holy Spirit, that we will be a church that will be one, that we have this one purpose, and together we're going after this. And Lord, I just pray for your help. I pray that you'd protect us. I pray that you would keep us from any form of division. I pray, God, that we would be a full expression of your kingdom here on earth. God, I pray, God, that we will be a church that makes an imprint on their community, an impact on the world. And Father, I pray that we'll just stop, each one of us will stop and say, I have a part to play. Will I protect what God wants to do in this house? So Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this time together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Mike, can we all stand to our feet this morning? Thank you for being here. Thank you for being online. And I just want to encourage us just to keep after God, to keep good attitudes this week. Keep your words encouraging, not criticizing. Let's just keep our eyes on the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's not lose friends long term because of maybe some wrong things we could have said this week, or because you posted something that you'll regret later on Facebook. Let's really go after being unifying people, where we're not here to divide, we're here to build the kingdom of God. So Lord, I pray for your help, and it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.